John chapter 19, just two verses, verse 28. Jesus, seeing that everything had been completed, so that the scripture record might be complete, he then said, "I'm thirsty." And a jug of sour wine was standing by, and someone put a sponge soaked with the wine on a javelin and lifted it to his mouth. We're considering today this word, "I'm thirsty," and all that that represents. The word of suffering, I've called it, because it's the only reference that Christ makes while he's on the cross to his own physical suffering. I'm thirsty. It's almost like the understatement of the century, isn't it? You imagine how thirsty he must have been. And that Psalm 22 really brings out how, you know, his tongue is stuck on the top of his mouth. "I'm a bucket kicked over and spilled," the message says. "Every joint in my body has been pulled apart. My heart is a blob of melted wax in my gut. I'm dry as a bone. My tongue is black and swollen, and they have laid me out for burial in the dirt." Matthew records, we won't look that up, but that the Lord refused the mild painkiller that he was offered when they first got to the hill of the skull. It was wine and myrrh mixed together. And it was actually offered, not by the soldiers, but was offered by a group of compassionate women of Jerusalem who saw this as a service to any victims that were being crucified. But he refused that, and we can contemplate the many reasons that he would have had in his own heart to not be protected from any of the pain that he was going through. How he must have been tormented. When you think of the time, crucified at 9 a.m., all through the morning to 12 noon, when we read that the sky darkens, turns black, and then through the afternoon to 3 p.m. So 6 hours of hanging on that cross in agony. And out of it comes this parched cry. Even though it's just two little words, "I'm thirsty," what those words show us is just the awesomeness of the love of the Lord Jesus. He's human. He is human as human, fully human. What Paul wrote in Philippians, he had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. It's from Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8. So this cry of suffering, "I am thirsty," opens us up to the humanness of the Lord. But not just that. This word, I am thirsty, was a very important fulfillment of prophecy. There are many, many, many prophecies that were taking place and being fulfilled all through this, well, all through the Lord's ministry, but all through this last week and through Gethsemane and then onto the cross. It was prophesied that he would be given vinegar to drink, or vinegar wine, which is what he has here. That's in Psalm 69, verse 21. It was prophesied that he would be betrayed by a friend. That's in Psalm 41, verse 9. It was prophesied that the disciples would scatter. That's in Psalm 31, verse 11. It was prophesied that he would have false accusations made against him, and that's in Psalm 35, verse 11. It was prophesied that he would be silent in his suffering and silent before his accusers, and that's in the Isaiah passage we read this morning in verse 7. It was prophesied that he would be proven innocent by those who had the power and authority, and that's in Isaiah 53, verse 9. It was prophesied that he would be crucified, specifically that form of execution, and that's in Psalm 22, verse 16, as you read this today. It was prophesied that he would be crucified with criminals. That's in Isaiah 53 again in verse 12. It was prophesied that the spectators standing around the cross would mock him. That's in Psalm 109 and verse 25. It was prophesied that he would be taunted to deliver himself and come down from the cross. That's in Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8. It was prophesied that there would be gambling for his clothes. That also is in Psalm 22, verse 18. It was prophesied that he would pray for his enemies. That's in Isaiah 53, verse 12. And it was prophesied that he would cry of being abandoned by God. That's in Psalm 22, verse 1. And now this thirsting that's described in Psalm 22, and verse 14. All these prophecies were important because each one of them was all part of the Saviour fulfilling everything that was in the Father's will. Everything. I came down from heaven, he told the disciples in John chapter 6, not to follow my own whim, but to accomplish the will of the one who sent me. And this, in a nutshell, is that will, that everything handed over to me by the Father be completed, not a single detail missed. And then at the wrap-up of time, I have everything and everyone put together, upright and whole. That's in John 6, verses 38 and 39. So this word of suffering, I'm thirsty, which just speaks of such a vast area of physical pain. We've talked about the spiritual pain that he was going through last week as well. And this word was an important fulfillment of scripture, fulfillment of prophecy that pulled everything together. But then surely this word was also a most practical necessity for the next words that would come from the cross. He needed moisture in his throat and in his mouth in order to speak something that he was about to speak that was absolutely, eternally significant. He had something he wanted to say, and we certainly needed to hear what he had to say. And he couldn't say it as dry as he was, the way Psalm 22 talked about. He could hardly speak. He needed that moisture. Because what he wanted to say, of anything else that he'd said from the cross, this next thing that he was going to say, he really wanted to not only say it, but he wanted to be heard. And so surely this, although when you think vinegar wine on a parched throat is almost suffering in itself. He had something he wanted to say, and we certainly needed to hear what he had to say. What was the next word that comes from the cross? What was so all important that he wanted to say, and what was so all important for us to hear very clearly that he was about to say next? That's, I think, one of the reasons also that all in the prophecies he was thirsting and he needed to be able to speak. We're going to look at that next week. But loving Father, today we just pray that you will help us to just take the time to give consideration to our Lord and our Saviour. As we see him in this word, Father, just a little word, just perhaps an incidental thing. And if we just look at it in an intellectual way, of it's, oh yes, it's just another prophecy of Scripture that needed to be ticked. But, oh Father, the suffering that he was going through for us, the fact that he identified so totally and utterly with us as humans. And as we've heard from the communion table today, as our substitute there on the cross. Getting what he, in that sense, did not deserve, and allowing us to go free. Allowing us to not receive what we do deserve. Loving Father, it says in the Scriptures that we love you because you first loved us. Oh, how true that is. We are humbled. We are full of gratitude. We are speechless in your presence, but in the lameness of language, we love you, we thank you, and we surrender ourselves afresh to you today. And we eagerly look forward, Father, to hearing this next word, this great and final word. A word of life, surely, for all the world, from the lips of the dying Saviour, as the world tried to destroy him on the cross. That's why we love you, Father, because you and your Son and the Spirit loved us first. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.